This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Not too far away, Panda Gate still with four to pick up. As they get into the running here, Autobahn takes over. Forever Young on the one, Rainier, but balances up now, comes up to the outside of Autobahn, who has to be brave. It's Forever Young, though, for Japan, who comes up to the outside of Autobahn, goes past by a length. Forever Young drawing away here in the late stages, and it's another Japan domination in the UAE Derby. Autobahn, very brave in second. Third across Panda Gate from Mendelssohn Bay. Then came Navy Seal, Rock War, Guns and Glory.
Forever Young can accomplish something no other Japanese bred or UAE Derby winner has done before him. But how likely is it that he exits Louisville as perfect as he arrived? Plus, is it right or wrong to think that this year's Derby-winning trainer will be named Brown, Pletcher, or Cox? And how do Dale and Tim view Derby contender Doorknock after his flop in the Bluegrass Stakes? We'll talk about those topics and much, much more straight ahead on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business, and all starting just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Dale Romans is set up this morning at the OBS sale in Ocala. Tim Wilkin is in upstate New York, and we are ready to roll for this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer. Guys, every week, the two of you often ask listeners to submit their questions, their topics. I do the same thing, and your message is getting through because four of our five topics on today's show are submitted by our listeners. So I'm really excited for this program. We're going to kick it off with the first topic that comes via email from Phil, who says that he was a big fan of Doorknock, but was not very impressed with his effort in the Bluegrass Stakes. How did he come out of that race, and how do you guys view his chances in the Kentucky Derby? Tim, you want it first?
Of course. Thanks, Phil, for the question. Keep them coming. Yeah, you can't be impressed with Doorknock after the Bluegrass when he was fourth. He told the great Jenny Reese after the race that he wanted to throw the race out, and he said it wasn't the end of the world. He has to learn to take dirt, you know, not instilling a lot of confidence. And it seems to me that, you know, this horse, you know, he's under pressure right away because he's a full brother to Mage, who won the Derby last year. And, you know, he got beat by 6.5 lengths in the Bluegrass. To me, it just seems that he hasn't really gone on since his two-year-old season. I think it'll be a tall chore for him to win the Roses. But Phil still has the faith. It has happened before. Fourth place finishers from the Bluegrass, they have come back to win the Derby, even though it was a while ago. Thunder Gulch did it in 95 and Sea Hero did it in 93, and they both got pounded pretty good in the Bluegrass. But that race doesn't instill a lot of confidence for me moving forward for Doorknock.
Yeah, you know, no mare has produced two Derby winners so far. I mean, it may happen someday. But he's a nice horse. I'd put him in that second tier level still, and he could. I know a little bit about him. I know he had a few little issues, backed him up a little bit going into the Bluegrass. They say he's training really good right now. So if you're a Doorknock fan, I'd leave him in your exotics, even if you don't bet him to win.
But Dale, I got a question for you as a trainer. Doesn't every trainer heading to the Derby come out and say, oh, their horses are training great?
They say it to the press, but they wouldn't say it to me. And, you know, Danny's a good friend. I believe what he's saying. And he got a little bit behind on him going into the Bluegrass out of this race in Florida. And he didn't probably get a whole lot out of that race. I think he's going to run a lot better race than he did in the Bluegrass, but it still might not be good enough to win the race. But like I said, I'd put him in my superfecta.
And it looks like he's probably going to have to go the lead.
looks like a couple of them in there are going to have to go at least. It's an interesting race on the speed scenario, I think. Yeah, you got the Japanese horse, you got Todd's horse. Both of them are going to want to go. It may get a real fast pace, but as you know, a lot of recent Derby winners have come from the first tier horses.
And you got to remember, you got to see what happens at the draw.
The draw is very important. It's not as important as it used to be now that they've got the one solid gate, but it's still a big deal.
You know, it seems like every year we hear about a horse or horses that just become different horses when they get to Churchill Downs. They blossom. They turn into this happy horse, this monstrous horse. Do you guys put a lot of stock in that? Is that a real thing? Dale, do you see it from a training perspective? And Tim, have you seen horses do that in your time covering the Derby?
I think so. I think coming out of the warm weather, wherever they are, and going back to a little bit cooler weather, and Churchill this year, its racetrack is fabulous. I know they did a lot of work on it. They brought in different material, and I have been super impressed with the job they did over the winter. We've only been there a month now, but 3 weeks, but the horses are really just bouncing over, and all of them seem to be any little aches and pains they're having are going away. So I think there's a lot to that, and a horse needs to like Churchill Downs. You know, a lot of them, if they don't like it, they don't run good, but if it seems like some of them love it, they'll step up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I've seen a whole bunch of horses that just look like the second coming of Pegasus when they hit the Churchill Downs track, you know, when they're training. Whether or not that translates to the first Saturday in May remains to be seen, but a lot of them haven't. I mean, remember Point Given, he was, a lot of people thought he was going to win a Triple Crown, but he just didn't like Churchill Downs. You either like it or you don't.
He did come out of the one hole, too. I mean, that was always a problem. It's not really as big a problem now with the one gate.
Is there more room, Dale, when the one horse comes out of the gate?
Yeah, so it used to be you almost sat almost behind the rail where you would break, and they would have to, if you didn't break fast or break straight, you would end up having to correct your horse and come out, and you'd be shuffled way back. Now it sits more off of the inside rail, so I think the inside's not as bad as it used to be.
Mm. Phil, that is a fantastic question, and as Tim said, keep them coming. If you have a question for Dale or Tim, submit that question to us. You can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, or you can hit us up on our social media pages and let us know what you'd like to hear Dale and Tim discuss. We'll get those worked into the show, and that's what we've done with our second topic as well. It comes from Shane in North Carolina, who emails the program, and he has a few different things. I love this question because he brings up a few different points. He wants to know, which of the following scenarios in this year's Kentucky Derby would you bet on happening? And his first one is Fierceness puts back-to-back wins together after his monster race in his Florida Derby romp, and he wins the roses for Mike Rapoli. Dale, would you bet on that?
You know, I would. I think there's a really good chance of that. I think pace scenario is going to be a key for him. And like I said, there may be a lot of speed in there, but I don't think he has to be on a lead as long as he can keep himself in the clear. And if you can be in the first three, you can find a clear path all the way around. And nobody's better than Johnny.
I would agree with that, too. You know, he dominating Florida Derby, no question about it. And, you know, the people were talking about his Holy Bull and you know, it was almost like it was a horrible race for him. He did finish third, and that was his first start since the Breeders' Cup in 3 months. You know, yeah, he got tired a little bit, but, you know, I mean, he was eligible to get tired after, you know, his first race in 3 months. I think this horse is the real deal, and he worked Friday, 5 furlongs and a minute and change, and looks like he's right on target to that work was in Florida. And, you know, it looks like he's right on target. I would think he's going to be the horse to beat in Louisville.
All right, here is Shane's second topic, or second question, if you will. Sierra Leone is able to navigate around 19 other horses, or at least however many horses he'll have to navigate his way around, and win as a closer to give Chad Brown his first Kentucky Derby win. Dale, would you bet on that?
Again, it depends on pace scenario. If we get the speed that it looks like to me it could be there, then he could. But I don't think he'll be back having to go around 19. I think he'll be a little closer going a mile and a quarter. You got the quarter-mile stretch. I would like to see him in contention when he hits the quarter pole. But you can't throw him out for sure. Awfully nice horse. He's done nothing wrong.
Definitely can't throw him out because, I mean, of all the horses that are heading to Churchill, he's the only one that's strung together two solid efforts in the preps. You know, before the Bluegrass, he won the Risen Star. And, you know, once this horse gets rolling, he's tough to deny. I mean, once he finds his stride, and like Dale said, I don't think he's going to be, you know, he's not going to be like Silky Sullivan, and, you know, 500 lengths behind everybody else. He's going to get position, and he's going to be a real danger coming down the stretch. There's no doubt about it. This horse is a serious racehorse.
Okay, and his final one, Shane says, Forever Young is able to overcome the kickback, the ship, and everything else, including a whole bunch of history, to become the first Japanese invader to win the Roses. Dale, are you betting on that?
I'm going to go against that until it happens. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Japanese racing. The guy that trains him is a good guy. He came over and hung out with me for a week before he got his trainer's license in Japan. And he's using all my stuff that he needs over at my barn. So I'm hoping he runs big, but that's going to be my no. I can't give you three winners of the race.
Tim?
Boy, we're just we're both on the same page today because, I've talked about the – horses coming from the UAE Derby before and not a fan, and they got to do it before I'm going to start believing. I mean, they're 0-for-19 UAE Derby starters in the Kentucky Derby. Best finished fifth back in 2011 with Master of Hounds. Forever Young is 5-for-5. He was impressive in the UAE Derby, but the ship, it's a hard ship. I mean, there's no getting around that. It's gotten a lot of these horses beaten before, and unless you're a real super horse, and I don't know if this one is, maybe he is, but I would bet against that come May 4.
Probably going to be overbet anyway. He's going to have everybody in Japan betting on him.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
He's not going to get all my money.
Yeah, he'll get all that money for sure. Shane, appreciate the question. We have a couple more listener-submitted questions coming up later in the program, but it is that time of the show now where we get to say hello to our good friend Nick Zito, and Dale and Tim tell me if the following statement is right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, guys, just won this week. If I were to say the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby will have a trainer with the last name of Brown, Pletcher, or Cox, would I be right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Tim, what do you think?
I'm going to go right. I'm really kind of liking Todd Pletcher's fierceness. I think he's definitely, he could be a generational talent. If you look at the other two trainers, Brad Cox potentially could have three in there, although I'm not sure what he's going to do with Encino. I don't know if he's going to wait for the Preakness for him. I think he should get in. I think there'll be defection. And he also has Just a Touch. He was second in the Bluegrass. He has Catching Freedom, Louisiana Derby winner. And Just a Touch, he'll be making his fourth start. His daddy, Justify, remember what he did in his fourth start? He won the Derby. And he's got really good-looking hand in this Derby. And, you know, with Chad with Sierra Leone, and he's also got Domestic Product, who won the Tampa Bay Derby, making his first start since then. He's probably going to be forgotten by a lot of the bettors. And with Todd Pletcher holding, I think, the best hand, I think this is going to be a question where one of these guys is going to win it, and I think it'll be Todd.
It's an easy answer to say yes. They look like they hold all the cards right now. So I'm going to say yes, too. If you can make that bet on the trainers, box those three. You might hit the trifecta.
Won't pay nothing.
No, it won't.
You know, there's some big names lurking outside of those three, too. Mott, Steve Asmussen. You get a chance to see Dwayne Lucas with another horse in the Kentucky Derby. Those are some big, big names that could upset the apple cart for sure.
Well, there's big names, but they don't have the big guns this year. But they can, especially Wayne. You can't ever throw him out.
Yeah, as good as it gets, I'm pulling a rabbit out of a hat.
I'm not tossing anything of Bill Mott's sense.
Nope. We'll see. We're going to bring back that topic again next week and bring back our friend Nick Zito for Right or Wrong. But as I mentioned, we do have two more listener-submitted questions that I want to make sure we get to here this morning. And this next one, guys, comes via email from Tom in St. Louis. And Dale, this one's for you. He wants to know, do trainers get past performances after the fields are drawn from the racing secretary or from the HBPA office, or do trainers have to wait until they are either online or the form comes out and obtain them the same way that the public does?
I get them on Equibase, and I think anybody can do that. I don't know exactly how it works. I just know there's an app on my phone, and about an hour and a half after the draw, I can click on there, and all the past performance for my race comes up. And I guess anybody can do it. My people set it up for me because they know I'm not very techie, so I just hit my button, and then within a couple of hours of the draw, I have the whole past performance of that race. And I've been working off my phone for quite a while now. Used to be in old days, we know we enter 48 hours out, and you'd have to wait till the next day to get the racing form. And you could go to the office, and they would print it out for you, the racing office. But this Equibase thing has changed things for me.
I'm glad you bring up the old days, because Tom went on to tell me a story when he emailed that question to us. And he said he remembered when his dad was training, and he would save the forms that he bought, as he would have to cut out the last PP of each horse and attach it to the stall application for the following year in order to go ahead and get his stalls. So things have changed quite a bit from that perspective too. Had you heard of that, Dale? I hadn't heard of that before.
I remember those days. Yes.
Really?
Going to my father's house, we'd have 2 years worth of racing forms. The other things he would do, he would go back because it wasn't as accessible. So he was a claimant trainer. He would look at the race. He liked the horse. And then he would go back to the old forms and look up the old races to see the horses that were in the race against him and how tough the field was that the horse ran in. We'd sit there and pull forms and handicap all night trying to find claims. I remember those days, stacks of forms around the house.
Wow.
I wish I still had some of them.
Wow. Tim, I wasn't aware of trainers needing to do that. It's a different world now, right? Tom goes on to say, who says that the industry has not progressed?
Oh, it has.
It definitely has progressed, yeah. thanks to the internet.
Yeah,
they were knocking the industry back then too, of not progressing. But it's yes, knockers will be knockers, right, Tim? Right, Tim?
That's right. I didn't realize you weren't tech savvy.
Yeah, I've never sent an email in my life. I might be one of the few people left in this world that's never sent an email.
You have a cell phone though.
I have a cell phone, and people put apps and stuff on it. I never downloaded an app. I don't know how to do that. I hand the phone to somebody. They fix it up for me.
Tim, we're lucky he can answer the phone when we call him to do the show.
That's right.
I thought you had a can down in your house and a can in his place and just yelled into it.
No, tech will never be my thing. And I don't get texting all the time, too. Everybody wants to text you. So pick up the phone and let's call and talk so we can figure something out. I tell nothing aggravates me more than tell my people to find something out, and they say, well, I text them, I'm waiting on the answer. So we'll call them, they'll give you an answer immediately.
So true.
Easy way out.
So true. Who said Dale Romans is an old school? Old school trainer, old school with technology. I love it.
But it might be why the game's passed me by.
Well, it hasn't passed you by. Come on, man.
I don't think so.
All right.
No, more big wins ahead in Dale's future. Tom, great question. Keep them coming. I know you submitted a couple of others for us, too. We'll get to those in the next couple of weeks. Final question, and this one comes from Beth via email. And Beth has a couple of questions for you guys. She wants to know, she's already looking ahead to Breeders' Cup, apparently. She wants to know, why is it that international horses don't seem to compete in the Breeders' Cup Classic anymore, or at least as often as they used to? Tim, you want that one first?
Beth, I don't know. I might have to respectfully disagree with you on that. It's not. I don't think it's not like the international horses have been a staple in the classic. I mean, last year there were two from Japan, the Derma Sotogaki and Ushba Testorio, and they both ran good, second and fifth. But you know, in the history of the classic, there's been 54 total horses that have come from overseas and ran in the classic. So it's not like they're busting the doors down. You know, a lot of the European horses are grass horses. They run on the grass. You know, you compare the 54 horses historically that have run in the classic compared to the turf, where Europeans have entered 225 horses in the history of the Breeders' Cup turf. So I don't think it's the fact that the Europeans, it's not like they were ever a big factor in the classic. Even I think there's been two or three that have won the classic. The last one, I think being Raven's Pass in maybe 2008. But yeah, I might have to respectfully disagree with her on that one.
I'm glad you asked Tim that first, because I would have had no idea. But thanks for all that research, Tim, and I'll just ditto what he said.
All right, that's Beth's first question. Dale, you're going to like the second one because it involves the son of Keen Ice, who I know that you have a soft spot in your heart for. But she wants to know if you guys could provide an update on 2022 Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike. I know he's retired. Have either of you heard anything else about Rich Strike and what he's doing now?
I have not, and that is a good question. I'd like to know where he is, too. I know he was in the Fall Horses of Racing Age sale at Keeneland last November, and he scratched. They scratched him and took him out. I don't know if there was a lot of interest, but that's a very good question, and we need to do the research and answer that question next week.
I know Rick Dawson pulled him out of the sale because he wasn't convinced that he was going to go for anything as a stallion. So, and then there was the talk that he wanted to bring him back to the farm and put him under light training and maybe get him back to the races with Bill Mott sometime in April, but I haven't heard anything then. As far as I know, the horse is retired, and I hope he does stay retired because I think his racing days are over. And, you know, will he ever become a stallion? I don't know. I mean, I know he's had some, he is a Derby winner, never won a race after, but, you know, you can't take the Kentucky Derby trophy away from him. But, yeah, as far as I know, he's just retired. I mean, I don't know if, I can't imagine he's going to come back to the races.
Yep, two career wins, but one of them is a win that any owner, any trainer would love to have, that Kentucky Derby victory. Guys, we have about 3 minutes left in the program, or 2.5 minutes or so. Let's move on to the West Point of the Week, your opportunity to make your final point before we wrap up the program. And this segment brought to you by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. Remember, owning a racehorse with West Point Thoroughbreds means that you are in the care of complete professionals who guide you throughout your ownership journey. You'll get instant access to the highest levels of racing, world-class trainers, jockeys, racetracks, and, of course, your horse. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Tim Wilkin, what is your West Point of the Week?
I'm going north of the border to give a congratulations to trainer Mark Cassie, who the other night won his 16th Outstanding Trainer Award at the Sovereign Awards in Canada. And he also trained the Canadian Horse of the Year in Fev Rover, and he had five other champions that were honored that night. So, you know, the juggernaut just keeps rolling along for Mark Cassie up in Canada. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, congratulations, Mark. And I just want to say Bob lost his last appeal. We're not going to have Baffert in the Derby. It's a shame. Should have the best horses, best people. Hate to see him not being there this year. Hopefully Churchill comes around, they get a deal, and he's back next year. The last thing I want to say is I am, as you said at top of the show, I'm here at the horse sale watching these young horses sell. Nothing more exciting than a sale. West Point bought a bunch of good ones. Get on the website, check it out. Maybe you can get involved in a racehorse.
Nobody better. Nobody better than Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin on a Saturday morning either. Guys, appreciate it. Dale, good luck at the sale. Tim, good luck at the windows this weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Phil. Talk to you later.
All right, if you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim discuss, do what so many of our listeners are doing now. Email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, or hit us up on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. I Ask, They Answer is presented every week by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, where racing comes to talk.